بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. إخواني في الله، فيقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ولن ترضى عنك اليهود ولا النصارى حتى تتبع ملتهم. ويقول سبحانه: يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا اليهود ولا النصارى أولياء بعضهم أولياء بعض. My respected elders and brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us certain guidelines to live our lives, be it in a social sphere, be it in an economical sphere, or be it in a political sphere. It is clearly laid down in Al-Quran. When we look today at the world, as a scholar once said, the world is our village and the village is our world. That the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been sent down on this earth as vicegerents of Allah, as the khulafa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودِ وَلَنْ نَصَارَ, that these two groups of people will never be satisfied. Whatever you do, they will want to change you until you follow them. Let us look at the world in order to see the essence of this Quran. Let's go to North Africa, which in the Arab history or geography is regarded as Ahl al-Bidan, people who are fair, and people lower than them is Sudan, people who are dark in complexion. Let's go to Ahl al-Bidan, to the North Africa. Al-Jazair, Algiers, Tunis, Tunisia, Al-Maghrib, Morocco, Libya, Misr, Egypt. Singling out one country, let's look at Al-Jazair. They told them, you want to fight us? Fight us via the ballot box. The Islamic resistance in Algeria said, fine, we'll do it. And as you have read in papers years ago, they did it. They went to the poll. They cast their vote. And the moment they realized that the Muslims are going to take over, they moved the goalpost. وَلَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى. They would not accept what you're doing. Except what? When you start following them. So they move the goalpost. What happened? You said, this is a democracy. We have cast our vote. We have won. Why did you do this? No. You've got to follow us. Then, they're still not satisfied. They will take an Almani, a secularist, and make him as the leader. Let's go to his neighboring country, Tunisia. Let's see what's happening there, how they're playing with the minds of the Muslim. They put a government in place that is far from Islam and say, now rule them. It is gazetted in the government gazette of Tunisia that ta'addud al-zawjat is haram. To marry more than one woman is haram. Now we can say, well, maybe they cannot afford it. No. There is a hidden agenda behind it. They want to show that this Quran is not right for you. Government gazette, it's written there, more than one wife is not right. It's totally forbidden in this country. They know the people that they are talking to. That these people are Muslims, they are Arabs, they understand Arabic. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran that it is permissible to marry, but they say, no, you cannot. So they're making their own people read this and say, but Allah is telling us to do this, but we cannot do it. So there's something wrong here or there's something wrong there. They are putting that shak in your mind. That doubt in the mind. They will attack the Sharia from whichever way they can. Our history, they will change it to suit them. They will change it to suit the way they interpret it and the way you're going to understand it. Before the Jew went in to take over Palestine, what did they do? They sent in people to study the mind of the Arab, and they've written volumes on it. How the Arab thinks. What makes him tick? What does he like? What does he hate? What does he love? They have made a comprehensive study of this and say, now, let's go and attack them now. And when they attacked, all this information was used to attack them. And that is why the Arab states are in where they are today. A simple example. Again, not very long ago, the Harb al-Khalij, the Gulf War. If you really think about it, it was a joke. But to the Iraqis there, it was death. And up to today, it's still death for them. Two leaders saying, you taking my oil? No, you taking my oil? And the war breaks up. It is said after the aftermath of the war, if America wanted to stop the war, the only thing they needed to do was to put their flag on Kuwait and say, now attack us. And Saddam Hussein would have pulled back. But they said, no, go and do it because that's yours. When he did it, he says, now we said, didn't we say it was, it's not yours? That's their life. Lies. That's a trait, that is a characteristics. I mean, a characteristic of these people. And of course, if you look at it at that time, the Bush administration was not run by the Jews. They were run by the Nasara. And Allah Ta'ala describes them, who, al-Dalal, غير المغضوب, those are the Jews, wal-Dalin, the Dalin are the Christians. They don't know whether they're here or whether they're there. So they will follow whoever suits them. And that is in the Quran. Because Allah Ta'ala describes them as al-Dalin, the lost. And the maghdoob, those that Allah Ta'ala is angry, are the Jews. Because they plot, they plan to attack you. And they would not be satisfied until you follow their way. They want you to follow your deen how they are happy with. They fear one thing. When they see the lihya, when they see the robe, when they see people coming in waves to the masjid, that puts a tremor into the heart, which is louder than a Scud missile or any missile that is the most strongest on this earth. They are afraid of that. They are afraid when the Muslimah, the female Muslim, puts on hijab. It shakes them. Because they say, we are now losing. We are losing the battle. Then another thing which they are doing. In Tunisia, they will take fortune tellers, open up offices for them, and call the people to them, and say, this is what's going to happen in the future, and this is what you're going to do, and this is what you're going to become. And suddenly people are neither here with the deen or neither there to corrupt the mind of the people. But who's pulling the strings at the end of the day? The Yahud. To lead you astray even with your own deen. That is why today, to latch yourself, to hold on to the pious, because they are leaving this world very fast. To hold on to the pious is so important today. A poet put it very well. He says, الصالحون اليوم كأنهم بقعة نورانية في المحيطات المظلمة. You see, the pious of today are like boys. We live here in Durban. We see the boys are like boys in bobbling in this dark ocean which we need to go and hold on to. Because if we do not hold on to them, we don't know where we are, and eventually we're going to tire ourselves out and then we're going to drown. This is another thing they are afraid of. If they find a great leader, they're not going to sit back. We take a sheikh from Saudi Arabia, Sheikh Aid al-Qarni, very prominent sheikh, who spoke out against the Jew in one Jum'ah. One Jum'ah he spoke out against. And suddenly, the next morning, in the Sharq al-Awsat, it's a paper, those have been for Umrah, or for Hajj, you would have seen it, it's a green paper, written in Arabic, Sharq al-Awsat. They wrote in that paper, that Sheikh Aid al-Qarni, listen to these words, yeah, A'udhu billah, I'm feeling ashamed to say it in this masjid. They write in a paper that Sheikh Aid al-Qarni loves to molest boys. Now, by the way, this paper is published in London. This is how they try to confuse the mind of the people by making this ta'am, these allegations. They would play with your mind continuously. Let's go back in history for a while. To the time of Salahuddin al-Ayyubi al-Kurdi. Now why I mention his full name? Because I want you to know that Salahuddin was not an Arab. He was a Kurd. Umar ibn al-Khattab fataha Palestine. He opened Palestine to the Muslim. Then it was taken away. Then Salahuddin harraraha. He freed it from the oppression. Now we ask, who's the next Salahuddin and who's going to be the next Umar? That is why the famous line of the youth of the Intifada is, في القدس فقد نطق الحجر لا مؤتمر لا مؤتمر لا نريد سوى عمر. You see, في القدس, في القدس لقد نطق الحجر, that the stone has spoken. لا مؤتمر, we do not want these conferences, these peace talks. We only want what Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه did. The رجوع إلى صحابة رضوان الله عليهم. Salahuddin was a Kurd. What did he do? Can you see how the Jew plays with the mind? Let's look how they do with it. In the time of Salahuddin, at that moment Salahuddin was coming to come and free Palestine. And the Jews started spreading this rumor about this Muslim leader. This man, he's a murderer. This man kills women and children. This man will steal your property. This man, we need to kill him, because they were at war now. They knew Salahuddin is coming. So one woman, and this is recorded in their history books called Saladin. It's written in their books also. It was such a case that they could not forget it because it was reported by one of them. And can you see how Allah Ta'ala shows the truth at the end of the day? One lady carries her child and she flees Al-Quds towards the mountains. And she meets some horsemen on the back. She says, I am afraid of my life and my property and my child. Can you help me? They said, why not? Where do you live? We live there in Quds. Come, we will take you. They take her, they put her on ours, and we will stand guard for you. Do you know who that horseman was? Salahuddin al-Ayyubi. Salahuddin al-Ayyubi. They speak about the hatred of Muslims to Christians. A total lie. When Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala and went to Palestine, he went where the Jews at that time were taking the muck and throwing in the churches. The Jews throwing the muck, the woman menses, throwing it in the churches. Umar ibn Khattab with his own hands went and cleaned it. Now where's the hatred? Where is the hatred? But you see, they're putting it in their books to confuse our minds and to create that friction between the Muslims and to portray us as bloodthirsty people. How much more longer can they go? How much more longer can they go? We have tried via their ways. We said democracy, we tried democracy. They want to fight us, they cannot fight us. Because Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, they can only fight us behind fortified walls. Now these fortified walls, we look at it as physical fortified walls, plus they will put other people in front to fight their battles. They can't fight their battles on their own. That is why they said, Sheikh Ahmad Yasin, who you must have heard quite extensively about, is one person who can, they said, can turn it. So they asked him a question in jail, while he was in jail. Ya Sheikh, you know for a fact that one day that Hajar and that Shajar is going to say, Ya Abdullah, Ya Muslim, Hada, Yahudi, Khalbi, Faqtulu. So why don't wait for that day, Ya Sheikh? Give us time to live. Because the Jews, Hubb al-Dunya, the Jews believe part of the Aqidah, Islam, their Aqidah al-Yahudiya is Hubb al-Dunya wa Karahiyat al-Maut. And they feel that they're going to live forever. They hate death, so they feel that they're going to live forever. So, listen, let us live and let us wait for the day. What do you think the response of Ahmad, Sheikh Ahmad Yasin was? لَقَدْ بَدَأَ هَذَا الْيَوْمِ. That yom, that day has now started. Whenever they get into a country, the first thing they get over is to get hold of the national curriculum so that nothing there says anything bad about the Jews. Nothing in that curriculum speaks good about the Muslims. For example, a few years ago in our history books, and Muhammad fled to Medina. He fled. That hijrah was an izn from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was a permission granted by Allah for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go from Makkah to Medina. But they, the way they put it, he fled. So what the young child thinks? Nabi Islam was scared. He couldn't face the wrath of the Meccans, so he went. Can you see? That one sentence, what does it mean to a child? Did you ever sit down with a child and say, what does this mean, Muhammad fled to Medina? But the thing they're inculcating into the child's mind is to say that Muhammad ﷺ was a scared person. They build that hatred even in your national curriculum. I don't want to go into the economics. A lot of businessmen here, they know what they're doing with how they're controlling our economics. To end, my respected elders and brothers, it is important that we realize one thing. And that is, they will try everything at their disposal, whether it is halal or haram, or permitted or not permitted, to change you. Because Allah Ta'ala has clearly said it in the Quran. Walan, if you look at it linguistically, the word lan means never. Never. And Allah Ta'ala will not use a word in vain. Because it sounds nice, he's going to use it. Allah Ta'ala uses it for a reason. That is, the Ashab al-Tafsir say very clearly, walan, they would never ever leave you until you follow their way. Until you follow their way. And as we know, al-kufr millatun wahida, that kufr is one grouping. That is why we need to get back to our Quran and our sunnah in order that we can face these onslaughts ready. Because as Muslims, we must be able to differentiate between right and wrong, and the scale that we use is ma warada fil Quran al-Kareem wa sunnat al-Nabawiyya wa ma qala al-Salaf al-Salih. And those tabi'een and taba tabi'een and the sahaba and those ulama who have come before us and those ulama who are amongst us today. Because the moment you start moving away from them, then you've got no hope. But remember, a believer is never a pessimist. He's always an optimist. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.